Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, we welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make. Paul Creek Elementary School contacted us to say they have three families that include 12 children that need an angel this year. If you're interested in helping them, providing gift cards to Walmart or Visa gift cards, which they prefer, please bring them to the church no later than next Sunday, December the 11th. Thank you. The December through February daily bread devotionals are available in the narthex, in the Ed building, and in the box on the shelf outside the church office. So please make sure you'll get one of those. Great Stories of the Old Testament Bible study returns tonight. December 4th, and then again on the 11th and 18th. Please join us. Cook's Community Meal will be here this Thursday, December 8th, from 5 to 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. This month's menu will be ham, potato salad, green bean, and a dessert. Please join us and bring friends or neighbors with you. A reminder of some upcoming events. The Property Ministry will meet this Thursday, 12-8, at 7 p.m. in room 113. The Viewpoint Sunday School Class Christmas Party will be on Saturday, December 10th at the home of Penny Love. See Reg King or Penny Love for details. Cook Session meets next Sunday, 12-11, at 7 p.m. in room 113. Cook's Presbyterian Women's Christmas Party for all ladies at Cook's will be on Tuesday, the 13th of December at the home of Penny Love. See the bulletin for more details. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this morning are to the glory of God. Those are the announcements I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Good morning. This Sunday, we light the second candle, the candle of peace. We light it knowing full well that peace is elusive, and in some parts of the world, it is almost completely absent. Yet in this season of Advent, we trust that God is never absent from us. God is always preparing something new. And even where there is war and discord, whether between countries, within families, or within our own hearts, God is present, gently leading us to new possibilities. Let us pray. Loving God, in this time of preparation and planning, we thank you for the hope and peace you unfailingly offer us. Show us the creative power of hope. Teach us the peace that comes from justice. Prepare our hearts to be transformed by you, that we may walk in the light of Christ. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer. Master of all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do and seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day, we who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeing your light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise and join in singing on our first hymn, number 347.
Thank you.
Season of Advent, the saying is sure and worthy of our full acceptance, that Christ Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Friends, as we come forward to the font, we confess our sin with the sure knowledge and declaration that Jesus Christ is sovereign and through his Son's death and resurrection has claimed our sins as his own and has taken upon himself the penalty for our transgressions. And it's in that great and gracious space that Jesus Christ opens up that we are able to bring forward our shortcomings. So I invite you this morning to join me as we bring our confession to the Lord corporately, leaving a few minutes for personal silent confession toward the end of the prayer. Join me with the words in the bulletin this morning. Lord of Christmas peace, we have done wrong. We have tarnished the gift you gave freely. We have buried you so deeply in our hearts, the world doesn't see you. We have not followed Christ, and we have ignored your teachings. We have lived lives of apathy against your love. We have built fences and fortresses to push people away, and we have silenced the screams of those in need. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from our sin. Free us from our captivity. Free us to a life lived in joy. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we know of an eternal truth that is so profound, so life-altering, so joyful that it gives us cause to smile on mornings just like this. Friends, because Jesus Christ has borne our sin on the cross, we can live at peace with ourselves and with God and enjoy the fullness of resurrection life in the here and now. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Having made our prayers of confession and receiving our assurance of pardon, it is right and fitting for us to now state what it is we believe as Christians. What is the shared faith that brings us together, that draws us into unity with one another? And we get that through confessional statements like the Apostles' Creed that we'll recite today. I invite you to join me. If you're unfamiliar with it, the words are in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the grave, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn, number 140.
Good morning. We will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
We'd like to invite the kids to come forward with a time for Mr. Mike that's just for them.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Good, good. I'm going to follow with the theme today, and I hope y'all paid a little bit of attention to this about peace. When I was growing up, and I got to admit, sometimes I didn't always pay attention, we had this thing called vocabulary words. Y'all still have that? Maybe it's called spelling words. Y'all?
It switches in between.
Okay. Well, you've learned what this is for. It's not only to teach you how to spell the word, it's to teach you the meanings of the word. Okay? And when we take, and sometimes after we study that for a while, we'll have a test. So today's vocabulary words are grace, mercy, and peace. These three words are found in the Bible. They can be your words for the day. Grace is help love gives us. Grace is help and love God gives us, though we do not always deserve it. Case in point is like, well, maybe you're not the best player on the team, but the coach sees your ability and your desire to play, and he may give you a starting position, even though you may not be the best. That would be grace. Mercy is God's general forgiveness. And we may not always follow what our parents want us to do, and sometimes we may get punished. But sometimes they may say, well, there was an effort. So they'll give us grace, or mercy, I'm sorry. They'll give us mercy. The next word is peace. Peace is a calm feeling we have inside because we know God loves us, and he cares no matter what and who we are. Peace is the opposite of worry. When things in life don't always go well, we can always still have peace by the trust in God. And this reminds me of a story I heard just a couple weeks ago. It was a couple, and the man got a text on his phone. It read, "Pray for Timmy. Timmy's been in an accident." His wife said, "Oh my goodness, were the kids involved?" He said, "No, the text said, pray for Timmy. He's been in an accident." She said, "Was anybody else hurt?" Said the text read, "Pray for Timmy. He's been in an accident." She said, "Well, where's he at? Did he go to the hospital?" The text read, once again, said, "Pray for Timmy. He's been in an accident." So his wife turns around and looks at him and says, "You don't know anything. What do you know?" He said, "Timmy's been in an accident, so we need to pray for him." This is the peace that he enjoyed because he knew he could trust in God. Okay? Let us pray. God, we come to you today in peace. The peace that you give us through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now we turn our attention to the reading and proclamation of God's word, and we do so, as always, beginning with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Gracious and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, speak to us now, gracious God. Come into our hearts and minds, flooding it with your irrepressible, wonderful light. Enable us to feel with certainty your presence as well as your word's force, O Lord. Enable us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to come into that place of deep communion with you so that we can truly resonate with your words. Enable us, Father God, to come into this reading and time of proclamation with the expectation of joy and peace in our hearts, a peace that surpasses all understanding, as we'll learn more of momentarily. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Your Bible, or if you'd like to look in the Pew Bible, it's page 686. If you just want to listen with your eyes closed to internalize the words of this passage from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He'll delight in obeying the Lord. He'll not judge by appearance or make decisions based on hearsay. He'll give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He'll wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. And that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe from the lion, and the little child will lead them all. The cow graze with the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. And the lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. And that day, the heir of David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place.
Our New Testament reading comes to us from the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I read verses 4 through 9 now. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's that wonderful, wonderful reading from Isaiah that we got that has that just unimaginable picture of peace with the babies playing with the venomous snakes that really always touches a spot deep in with me. And I can't ever forget and lose sight of the fact that that scene takes place because the entire earth in that vision is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And that is something that is going to give us a certain amount of peace throughout our days, without question. You know, it was at my grandmother's funeral that I got turned around at a big church in Charlotte over at St. John's Episcopalian. I was taking one of the kids to the restroom, I've forgotten which one, and got cattywampused in the building, and I just couldn't find my way out. You'd have to know, my wife could tell you, I'm terrible geographically and get lost at the drop of a hat. And so I'm wandering around this church, don't really know where I'm going, although I know I'm getting the sense that I'm going further and further from the fellowship hall, which is where all my family is gathered. There was nobody in the church. This place was like pretty desolate outside of the gathering that was going on in the fellowship hall, which I couldn't find, for lack of better words. I couldn't find it. I was wandering around. My child was getting anxious. I was getting anxious. And then lo and behold, what do you know? We turn a corner, and there on a staircase is a giant mural that says simply, "Know Jesus, N-O Jesus, no N-O peace." And then underneath that is "Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, comma, no K-N-O-W, peace." It was just in that second where that realization that I was probably not going to die of starvation at St. John's Episcopalian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, that kind of jarred me or nestled me back into a more reasonable state. And thankfully, somehow, some way, I got turned back right and we found our way back to my family. But it was in those moments of discord and disquietude that we're shaken up by the awareness of Jesus Christ. Just for an instant, that knowledge of Jesus Christ did for me exactly what I needed it to do. But if we're honest, sometimes it's more, we need more of that earth, of that wonderful peace that the Lord can give to clear out our minds. Sometimes we need a lot more. They're the vexations of daily lives. They're the worries that weigh us down. They're the fears that of things that go bump in the night that keep us awake in our beds and sheets at night. And yet, in this world, in this place, in this time, there is peace because there is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've certainly seen a lot of interesting things over the last couple of years, but I've got one particular vision of peacelessness that remains with me all of my days of my life. You see, long before I was a chef, long before I was a pastor, I was a radio salesman. And I don't mean that I sold radios. I sold advertising time on a radio station. And as a result of that, we tended to have access to concert tickets. And one band was coming. You know, it was a rock and roll radio station that I worked for. And in this rock and roll radio station, I like kind of the older stuff, like Chicago, the Doobie Brothers, the Grateful Dead, stuff like that. This radio station was really playing more of the new rock bands. And one of them that was getting quite a bit of airplay at the time was this really heavy band, heavy metal band called White Zombie, of all things. So somehow, some way, I decide I'm going to go to this White Zombie concert. And Chris Rozak, who was one of the DJs there at the time, realized that I was going, and he came to me and he said, "Jason," he knew me. He said, "Jason, where you don't want to be is anywhere near in front of the stage as the band starts." And I was a little confused. This was the middle 90s, and some things hadn't reached my awareness. And he said, I said, "Well, why is that?" And he said, "Well, there's going to be a mosh pit." "A mosh pit?" I said. And he said, "Yeah, basically, that's where a bunch of people decide to get fired up by the music and slam into each other." He goes, "You're going to want to avoid that at a White Zombie concert." Well, there I am on the night of the White Zombie concert, and I'm just chatting with my friends, and what do you know it? I look up and realize that my orientation is right in front of the stage. I look at the clock, and it's getting close to the time, and I think, golly gee, I probably ought to get out of here. About that time, y'all, the lights went down, and the most oppressive, loud, blaring music you've ever heard flooded into this place. It was the Charlotte Hornets training facility, if you remember that place. And the next thing you know, I was ground center in the mosh pit. That's about the point at which people start flinging their bodies into you, musically, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's dancing. I haven't quite figured out what it is. But the very first blow knocked off my orientation. So now it's dark. There are these blinding lights that are coming, and there's this blaring music. It's the worst thing in the world, and I have no idea how to get away from it. It was awful. Thankfully, I got straightened out and got turned around and realized that my place was never going to be at a White Zombie concert ever again. But that experience of lack of peace is a far cry from what I'm sure that men and servicemen and women undergo when they're in war, because I had no fears of death really on me. I didn't think that there was going to be some shrapnel that was going to take me out at this thing. But it was as visceral a feeling of lack of peace as I've ever known. It was quite the contrast many years later when Benjamin was born. Now, if you remember those first hair-raising days when a new child arrives, you can wonder why I'm equating that with a sense of peacefulness, and I'll tell you. My mother-in-law came into town for the first couple of months. First couple of weeks, rather. She had to go, though. I remember. I cried when she left. And there was that chaos. Do you remember the chaos of an infant and not knowing when the baby was going to wake up or when you'd get back to sleep? It can be, for lack of better words, a time in which peace is not very much part of the equation. And yet, after Ruth Ann went away and we got a couple of weeks under our belt, there was this evening where I came home and Natalie and the baby had already gone to sleep. And I settled down into a chair with the scriptures, and there, just this amazing warm light bathed over me, and I felt a peace that transcended anything I had ever known. Those two experiences inform me when I think about what life can be like. Do I want it to be like that White Zombie concert in the mosh pit? Or do I want to have a calm and tranquil experience of Jesus Christ? I know at age 51, which I want. You know, it's no small surprise that as I age, peacefulness, peace as a whole, becomes a greater and greater commodity in my life. I find that it's the one thing that's most easily taken from my day is my peace, the peace of the Lord, if I'll allow it. And it's the first thing I yearn for when it's gone. Is that strong sense that God is in charge, that there is a point and purpose and meaning to my life, and that though the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune are out there, that there is in fact a God that's with me in and through all of it. That's where peacefulness comes in. That's where we know Jesus. And as I said, as that mural declared so loudly, I mean, the print was really big. Know Jesus, know peace. Know, K-N-O Jesus, K-N-O, know peace. And we, when we stressle and try to struggle with how do we know Jesus more clearly, where we come to is the Word of God. I was about to grab the hymnal to use it as a prop, but it's not the Bible. Where we come to is we come to our Word. We go into the Word because we're not the only people who have experienced God's graciousness throughout time. In fact, we're part of a people that go back thousands of years that have all enjoyed and known the presence and fullness of God's goodness because of His choosing. And in that peacefulness, we can find ourselves extraordinarily content in life. As we learn the Word and we gather more and more around it, we realize just what a strength of peacefulness that our Lord Jesus Christ can be. Psalm 32:7 says this, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Gosh, I needed a hiding place yesterday. A routine trip to the grocery store took an abysmal turn as my poor depth perception led me to scraping my car up against the bumper of a pickup truck. There's a long red gash down my car, white car, wouldn't you know it, to show you for it. It was just the kind of experience that can vacate any Christmas joy that was accumulating. And yet, when I came home, filled pretty much with misery, with the awareness that I had just cost ourselves the deductible and the raised insurance rates for the years to come, it was there when I got home and was greeted by my very understanding and loving family that I realized that a Christian home can be like a hiding place from the troubles of the world. It can be a sanctuary. But the fact of the matter is what the Word tells us is we don't absolutely need those homes. What we absolutely need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's in that relationship with Jesus Christ that we gather the knowledge of God necessary to make it through the next crisis. Because crises take it out of us. They wreck our tranquility, and they shorten our lists of creative thinking abilities. And so when we get to that place, then we are off kilter. We're off kilter because we're not aware of the presence of God. Isaiah 43:2 writes this: "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Knowing Jesus reminds us that this life is still filled with its troubles and its turmoils, and yet amid all of the difficulties and struggles, what we have is a God with us, Emmanuel. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to earth, a babe born in a barn, laid in bands of cloth, wrapped and placed in a manger. This Jesus Christ, this one who came with more animal witnesses than humans, is the one who establishes his peace on earth and enables us to be present in it. He is not going to miraculously make every difficulty or obstacle come out of our way. He will instead be with us in them. That means we're not alone. That means when the doctor calls with a troubling diagnosis, or we get the awareness that one of our family members is struggling, that we're not bereft, that the problem may not change immediately, but the dynamic is always different because the Lord Jesus Christ is present with us. And that Lord Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, he is a power for us. When we really listen into the scriptures, what we hear is the sharing of the divine power with mortals to bring about God's purposes on earth. And one of those purposes we heard from our Isaiah reading is the bringing of peace. That we look forward to that vision, that time in the kingdom of God in which the wolf shall lay down with the lamb and you and I will be in eternal peace with our surroundings. And we look forward to that day, but we recognize that things can mess with it. Chief among them are our anxieties or our fears, especially about our physical health. It's for that reason, no doubt, that America is struggling through a pandemic, not of COVID as much anymore, as it is an endemic of or a pandemic of panic, of anxiety. You can remember early on in the pandemic, early on, we got those harrowing numbers of projected losses of humans. And we ensconced ourselves in our home, barely venturing out for the better part of a year. And what we found was we found ourselves growing more and more anxious by the day. 61%, imagine this, 61% in a recent survey, reported experiencing all-time high levels of anxiety. We see it when we look at the news or venture out in our cars and we see road rage or we see flaring tempers or we see meltdowns at an airport on the news. This anxiety, this panic is coming out in ways that are sideways just like it always does. And again, we come back to the no, Jesus, no peace. You see, when we fail to attend to the fact that our present as well as our eternities are guarded and kept safe by the Lord our God, it's going to drive us a little batty as we take upon ourselves the weight of the world. You know, it's not without some measure of interest that there in Times Square, there is a, near Rockefeller Center, I think, there is a huge statue of Atlas holding the world on his shoulders that you can probably see in your mind's eye with the strain and the weight of the world all on his back and his muscles. That's us sometimes, isn't it? We decide to take on everything that come heck or high water, we're going to get our way or we're going to see it through. And what happens in those times? Do things go out and turn out the way we want them to, or do they oftentimes go awry? The fact of the matter is that they oftentimes turn out far less pleasant than we'd imagine them. But you see, there in the Catholic Church nearby Rockefeller Center, there is a mural of Christ Pantocrator. Now, that's a big vision of a big picture of Jesus Christ on the ceiling looking down as if to say, I see the world. The weight of the world isn't on us. It never was, never shall be. The weight of the world is on Jesus Christ. And thank goodness, what we know is that nothing will be victorious over him. Take courage, Jesus Christ tells us in the Gospel of John, for I have conquered, past tense, the world. Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, declares to us that he is victor. He is Christ victor over all. And so when we fear or we find ourselves wavering in that place where we wonder about our health or the health of our loved ones, we're ambling down a dangerous trail that can very lead us to some frightening times. And yet the Word draws us back. The Word finds us and locates us as the people who need shelter. And Jesus Christ is the one who provides it. There is a deep peacefulness that's found in that. That strong sense and awareness that Jesus Christ is with us all the days of our lives and is continuing to abide with us doesn't mean that the obstacles will miraculously disappear. No, oftentimes they'll stay exactly where they are. But the peace that surpasses all understanding will come as you realize that you don't face the floodwaters alone. You don't face the fires by yourself. That you are, in fact, enjoined by one who calls you not only saved, but loved. There are other things that can take our peace if we don't let them. And it is no lack of irony that we look around and realize that oftentimes what can drive our peace the way of the dodo is a desire for more material things. And it is, as I've said, an irony to realize that in this Christian season in which we lift up the Prince of Peace, that we're also some of the most acquisitive people known to man, that we're already out trying to figure out what we're going to buy and whom we're going to give it to and how we're going to collect stuff ourselves. It is an odd turn of things, because in this season that we're to be about peace, we've got to remember what the Prince of Peace and the Word of God tell us about materialism. Ecclesiastes says this, 5 and 10, whoever loves money has enough, never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. You see how that could rob your peace right there? If you're intent on going out and just getting more money, you're never going to be satisfied. Because as soon as you get that extra $100, you're going to want an extra $1,000. And as soon as you get that extra $1,000, you're going to want another $10,000. And on and on and on. It's like a gerbil wheel that'll never run out until you've spun yourself into oblivion. Here's a scripture that I think could serve as an anti-materialistic Christmas. And to be honest, I don't know how I missed it. 1 Timothy 6:7-8. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Right? Is there more anti-American Christmas statement than that? We're just going to be content with our food and our drink. Jesus Christ tells us something similar in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Because the God who's provided even enough raiment for the birds to be clothed and sheltered and taken care of, so too is that God taking care of you even more lavishly. In Matthew 6, 19 and 20, Jesus Christ says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Peace isn't found in our wallets or what's the content of our house. Peace is found just as that mural at St. John's Episcopal declared so many moons ago, that peace is found when you know Jesus Christ. Because when you know Jesus Christ, not only do you know something about the nature of God Almighty, you know something about yourself too, whether you realize it or not. You know, when I was in my late teens, I was in college and I fell in love. Well, fell in love is kind of a hard, not accurate term. I was really taken with a young woman that lived up in New York. And one of the things that I didn't like about myself at the time was that being a child of a redheaded mother, I have two shades. I'm not kidding. I have ghost white and poinsettia red. Those are the two colors that I have. And you see, One time when I was really madly in, you know, like with this young woman that lived up in New York, I realized that really what I wanted was a tan. That was surely going to be impressive. So y'all, I'm telling you, I discovered that as I went from being burned to being pale again, there was about a week in there where I was tan. Looked pretty good too, if I don't mind saying. Of course, I had to burn the tarnation out of myself to get there. Well, I didn't know myself. There are limitations in my life. I can't become, I'm not swarthy, right? Like, that's just not going to be me. I'm going to be pale. That's unfortunate but true. And I've gotten to peace with that. But what becomes known to us even more is that when we know Jesus Christ, we know we're not perfect. This is hugely important. If we are out in the world trying to maintain our perfectionism, we are going to be dogged by the lack of peace that we find in our lives. And yet what the Word tells us is that more and more of God is made known to us the nearer and nearer we draw to Him. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's in James. And one of the ways we do that, and we do it every Sunday, and I encourage you to do it in your personal time alone at home, is we confess our sin. We say up to the Lord what it is we've done wrong, where we've fallen short of the mark, where we're guilty. Because you see, life in the flesh means that we'll always fall short of the mark. There'll always be some part of us that's wondering about our salvation if we'll let it. And what the Word says is that salvation is an easy matter. It's there and available for all of those who believe in their heart and confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord. With that declaration, we know, K-N-O-W, Jesus. And we know, K-N-O-W, peace. And nothing, no thing will ever take that away from us. Hear these words from Romans 8. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing means nothing. There is nothing, not a thing, no one thing that can remove that amazing, powerful, everlasting love of Jesus Christ from your life. And when that becomes the center point of your reality, there is nothing that can rob your peace. Because you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that though things bad will come in this world, that you are not facing them by yourself. There is a power beyond your greatest imagination that is with you in the getting through. When you know Jesus, you know God's power. You know God's mercy and God's love, and it frees you to be at peace with the world. And most importantly, knowing that you, just like me and all of us, are guilty before the law and yet loved before Jesus Christ, we can know Jesus and know with such great gratitude of our salvation. And that knowledge of our salvation, that assurance that can never be robbed from us, that's what leads to the peace that surpasses all understanding. Know Jesus, know peace. Know Jesus. no peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, we turn now our thoughts to the lifting up of our prayers. We pray because we believe that we have a God that not only listens to our prayers of intercession and supplication, but that actively responds to them. The Word tells us that. So join me as we lift up our intercessory and prayers of supplication to the Lord our God. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we yearn for you, O God, in the days of our lives. Upon arising, we wake up and take in that first awareness of your creation. It's then that you make yourself known to us, O Lord. It's then that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you draw us into communion with you, reminding us of your ongoing love, reminding us of your provision and your protection, O Lord. It's that strong awareness of your Holy Spirit's presence that enables us to make it through our days with a measure of grace and aplomb. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you not only for this great and glorious creation that you've set us in, but we thank you for your provision within it. For we know that you and you alone, every good thing comes to us from your hand. Every good thing comes from heaven above, the Word tells us. And in that, O Lord, we rejoice, for we look at the collection of things in our lives that we need, and we can be certain that you love us, O Lord. And where there is want and lacking, we can also be certain, O Lord, certain of your presence, certain of your potential testing, and certain, O Lord, that things will change, Heavenly Father. So God, surround us in your watch, care, and love. Prepare us, O Lord, as those who, though living, prepare themselves to die. O Lord, be with us, providing us that peace that surpasses all understanding as we look to you to provide us all necessary comfort, all necessary consolation, and Heavenly Father, all wondrous and wonderful peace. Father God, wherever there is sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be there, providing whatever is necessary. Oh Lord, we lift up to you all the names on our prayer list and we single them out and say to you, be for them a strong advocate. Show them your watch care and your love. Awaken them to the knowledge of your saving grace as well as your healing mysteries, oh Lord. For those who continue to mourn lost loved ones, we just ask that you fulfill them with every strong assurance that their loved one is safe and in heaven with you, O Lord. Enable us to know with certainty of the fates of our loved ones so that we might with certainty know our own, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we continue our prayers for Tom McClure as he recovers from a stroke, just as we pray for Pat Hager. We pray for Petey Self. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for the family of Pete Mitchell. We pray for the family of former member Debbie White and all of those who stand in need of intercessory prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the many blessings of our lives, just as we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. His death reminds us that our sin is forgiven. His resurrection teaches us that you've prepared a place for us in the eternal kingdom. And your Holy Spirit reminds us that you will never be apart from us again. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of that coming kingdom that Isaiah's vision fills us with. And we make them all, concluding with the prayer our Lord and Savior taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. having made our prayers, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Gracious God, your word reminds us of what a provident God you are, how you provide for us so richly all the days of our lives. Now, Heavenly Father, as you've called us to give a portion of those blessings back to you and we've responded, we pray that you would bless this offering using your Spirit to bring about its sanctification as well as to bring about its use for your good purposes on this, your good world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. When we come into a time of knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to be astounded by the level of peace that our lives and hearts are able to take in. We're able to take it in because gone from us will be the fear of the future. Gone from us will be our overwhelming need for material things. And most especially, gone will be from us the thought that we are not sinners in need of salvation. Yes, knowledge of Jesus Christ leads directly to the wonderful peace that passes all understanding. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.